الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. درود شریف پڑھنے ہیں. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an is the narrator of this hadith recorded by Imam Tirmizi rahmatullah alayh. He says that Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, لَمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْأَرْضَ جَعَلَتْ تَمِيدُ وَتَكَفَّأُ فَأَرْسَاهَا بِالْجِبَالِ فَاسْتَقَرَّتْ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretched the surface of this earth and the earth started to move. وَتَكَفَّأُ فَأَرْسَاهَا بِالْجِبَالِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pegged the face of this earth with gigantic mountains, very strong gigantic mountains. فَاسْتَقَرَّتْ, and the earth stopped moving. فَعَجَبَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْجِبَالِ. And again the angels, a mighty creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah has created by Noor, they were amazed when they saw the size of some of the mountains. And they said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَالَتْ يَا رَبَّنَا, O our Lord, اے ہمارے رب, يَا رَبَّنَا, هَلْ خَلَقْتَ خَلْقًا أَشَدَّ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ. Have you created anything that is more stronger than the mountains? It is not just the mountains which we see with the eyes, there are even greater mountains deep in the ocean. So is there anything greater than the mountains? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the malaika, نَعَمْ الْحَدِيد, iron, steel, loha, al-hadid, loha. قَالُوا, and the angel said, فَهَلْ خَلَقْتَ خَلْقًا أَشَدَّ مِنَ الْحَدِيدِ. Oh Allah, have you created anything that is even more stronger than iron, steel, metal? قَالَ النَّارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, even stronger than the mountains, than the iron, is the fire which Allah has created. The fire has the power to bend even the strongest and the hardest metal. قَالُوا فَهَلْ خَلَقْتَ خَلْقًا أَشَدَّ مِنَ النَّارِ. Again the malaika said to Allah, have you created anything that is more stronger than the fire? قَالَ الْمَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned water, the tsunami that we have heard of in Asia. قَالَ الْمَا. Water is even stronger. The force of water is even more than the mountains, the iron, the steel, whatever, and even the fire. The malaika again said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهَلْ خَلَقْتَ خَلْقًا أَشَدَّ مِنَ الْمَا. Ya Allah, is there anything that is even more stronger than water? And finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, الريح, the wind. 500 miles per hour, the waves came. my respected brothers, 500 miles per hour. And it is a combination of the crack down in the surface, deep in the ocean, and also the combination of the wind that gives it the speed. 500 miles per hour, and some of them have said it was only three major waves. Kitne? Teen. And everything changes in three waves. If you look at the satellite pictures, what was before and what is after, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has changed everything. So even stronger than water is hawa, ar-rih. And then the malaika said, فَهَلْ خَلَقْتَ خَلْقًا أَشَدَّ مِنَ الرِّيحِ. Then is there anything that is more powerful than the wind? Subhanallah. Qurban jaye, what a beautiful answer Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given to the ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, even stronger than the mountains, the iron, the fire, the water, the wind, is the sadaqah, the charity of a Muslim. Subhanallah. Ajeeb. And that is described in the hadith of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, قَالَ إِبْنِ آدَمْ إِذَا تَصَدَّكَ بِصَدَقَةٍ بِيَمِينِهِ فَأَخْفَاهَا مِنْ شِمَالِهِ. That when he gives with his right hand, even the left hand is not aware of that. MashaAllah, that means with great khulus he gives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With this hadith in mind, my respected brothers, a lot of things we learn. First of all, that everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that occurs, we term it to be natural disasters. We use the term natural disaster. But in reality, everything is in the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing happens but only by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially the last two points that are mentioned have greatly contributed to the tsunami that we have seen in Asia, al-ma, al-rih, water and the wind. But let us concentrate again on the last part which Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, and with this hadith in mind, alhamdulillah, rather than giving the money that we have collected to any mainstream charity organization, which alhamdulillah they even do the good work, but it is an opportunity for us, alhamdulillah, that comes, that at least when the collection is done and when we have sufficient money in the pots, then someone from the community, a group, a team should go there and to see everything with their own eyes, and then money should be distributed to the right recipients in the right manner, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you in a greater manner. That is why, mashallah, a team of 7 people went to that part of the region, Aceh, 7 Ajiz, and Chairman Ibrahim Bhai Fulat, mashallah, Mahmud Bhai Gorawala, Yusuf Bhai. Yusuf Bhai ka surname kya hai bhai? Wantara. Yusuf Bhai Wantara, mashallah. Brother Siraj Master, Hamare Arif Bhai Master, mashallah. Muhammad Amin, is that all of the 7? And myself, yeah, I said that. I put myself in the beginning. Yeah. So the 7 of us, alhamdulillah, we went there. By the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is by the mercy and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected brothers, our journey starts from Masjid-e Umar and ends at the masjid. It is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever he happened to go towards any direction out of Madinatul Munawwara, it was his sunnah that he would embark from Masjid-e Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he would come back to Madinatul Munawwara, he would come back to the masjid. So we left from Masjid Umar, our flight was from Gatwick Airport. We spent a few hours in Dubai for the flight was the first station, the first stop was Singapore. That is how the schedule was. So we stopped at Dubai for, in transit for 2 hours. And alhamdulillah, when we got to Singapore, Singapore is a fine city. What is it? A fine city. When I say fine, I mean fine, you know. You have to pay for everything there. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Al-Nazafatu min al-Iman. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that cleanliness is part of Iman. And though in Singapore, majority of the people there are Chinese, but you also have a good population of the Muslims there, MashaAllah. A very clean city. Where you'd be fined if you use the public toilet and you forget to flush the toilet. So no smoking, no drinking, no eating, and no pointing. So if you are in that part of the region, if you point at someone like that, that is disrespect. Akhlaq to dekhe. So you can't point to no one like that, and if you want to say anything, you have to do that. So you have to be humble. So when we got to Singapore, mashallah, there were brothers there to receive us. Alhamdulillah, Allah give jazai khair to our brothers who are connected in the work of Tabligh Jamaat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them jazai khair. At all times they were there. Mashallah, the qurbani is immense. They were there, alhamdulillah, to receive us. And a man specially came from Indonesia to Singapore also, who was to be our rehbar. MashaAllah, we went straight to the markaz in Singapore. MashaAllah, a new building, a masjid, and a beautiful masjid open to everybody there. The locals, Muslims, what they do in the afternoon, they come in the masjid is open all the time, only in the night the doors, the gates are shut. And they come there, they do qailullah, they rest there, they eat. MashaAllah, everything is done in the masjid. It is lively at all times. MashaAllah ta'ala. Our rehbar was the local brother from Indonesia, actually from Batam, we will go on to that. He came, and his name is not Pak Qasim, that's what he is known as, but rather Brother Qasim. And this Brother Qasim, mashallah, he is also an incredible character. Once upon a time, he was a Christian. A Christian who's kissed the hands of the Pope, who's visited the Vatican. A strong missionary. Apne mazhab mein pakka da'i. A strong Christian, so much so that it is said that he converted 5,000 Muslims to Christianity. Kitne? 5,000 Muslims to Christianity. This brother whose name is Qasim, who came to receive us at the time at the airport, courtesy to Mahmud Bhai Gorawala. He only chooses the best, mashallah. Allah give him jazai khair, a fine man to be with all the time. And this man, Brother Qasim, when you talk to him, a very humble man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him hidayat later on. And when Allah gave him hidayat, he returned back to all the 5,000 and converted back, reconverted them back to Islam. Aisa bhi aadmi aapne dekha hai kabhi? Subhanallah. Imagine the effort. You work so hard to convert them to Christianity. And after realizing when Allah opened the door for them, for him, for hidayat, and he embraced Islam, Subhanallah, the nur of Islam is in his heart. He went back to every single person and said to them that, look, what I came with, what I preach to you is wrong. And the mazhab, the right, the haq mazhab is Islam. mashallah. What you have is batil, and what we have is haq. What you had is haq. So say la ilaha illallah. And he said, mashallah, all of them embraced back to Islam. Now, from this we understand the situation of Indonesia also, how soft-hearted people are and how they can be influenced. Very timid, nice, soft-hearted people. Bas unhe rehbar nahi mila hai, there is no one there really to guide them. And if there is, mashallah, the right people there to guide them, then subhanallah, in the islands of Indonesia, 260 million population, Muslims. Kitne zyada honge, dekhe. We went to one area whilst our trip to from Medan to Banda Aceh. We stopped there for Salat and we saw some of the children that were praying in the evening, their madrasa. Just to explain to you how the people are, that they just need a bit of knowledge, Islamic knowledge. The person who was teaching them, a very simple man, this ko hum ustaz kehte hain. The ustaz was sitting there, wallahu alam, we don't know of his qualifications, but he was there sitting and teaching the children. The children were all around him, and the Quran was on the ground, not realizing. And not only was the Quran on the ground, the teacher was smoking and teaching. So mashallah, we went there, we said to the ustaz, we had a professional translator with us, mashallah. He knew English, he knew the local language, Indonesian. And he explained straight away, he got rid of his cigarettes, and he appreciated whatever we told him, and he said to his class that, no, it's true, this is how we should pray, this is the adab, this is how Islam comes to us. So a bit of effort, alhamdulillah, and then we will see the fruits, inshallah ta'ala. So when we got to Singapore, our residence was not in a hotel, but in the markaz, alhamdulillah. We went there with khulus, with ikhlas. From Singapore, the next destination was Batam. Batam is the closest island from Singapore. And mashallah, the only way to Batam, the easiest route was to catch the ferry there that were operating from Singapore to Batam. Alhamdulillah, we reserved our seats and we went to Batam. Batam is the closest island to from Singapore. When we got to Batam, alhamdulillah, again, the brothers were there to receive us. We went straight to the markaz in Batam. In Indonesia, it is said that there are 17,000 islands. Indonesia is made up of 17,000 islands. All of them volcanic islands. So when we talk about in the hadith, we mention the mountain and fire, that entire region is volcanic. 17,000 islands, and from one end of Indonesia to the other end, it is approximately 3,200 miles. This is how big Indonesia is, 3,200 miles, which is, according to one brother, from Gatwick to Dubai. From Gatwick to Dubai. So that's how vast, how big Indonesia is, from one end to another end. 17,000 islands, and from one end to another is 3,200 miles. So we got to Batam, alhamdulillah, from Singapore to Batam. Nothing happened, mashallah, the journey was safe. When we got to Batam, again we went straight to the markaz, and I believe that was on a Thursday when we got to Batam. Thursday, mashallah, again, waha markaz mein sare log jama the, And the mashwara was already done that, Maulana, you have to do the bayan. So as soon as we got to Batam, Alhamdulillah, very quickly Mahmud Bhai said to me that, no, we won't have time, pray the Asr Salat now. We prayed the Asr at the port and then very quickly read Maghrib. When we got to Batam, mashallah, the Markaz was situated in a very high, hilly area. Mashallah, a beautiful area and a beautiful masjid there. Mashallah, when we went in the masjid, there must be at least over 1,000 people, a gathering of 1,000 people. Ajeeb, mashallah. And the people there, when you see them, mashallah, with amama, with dari, mashallah, nurani chehra, everybody was there, mashallah, and the bayan was done. And the bayan was very, in the bayan, mashallah, every single one was there listening attentively. We have a big audience today because we're covering the tsunami, but generally that is not the case. But what we notice in Indonesia, the brothers there have got so much talab, thirst for knowledge. Because we were staying in the markaz, in the masjid. And there is a program from Asr to Maghrib, and you see the people sitting there. Everyone who comes for Salat sits for the bayan. And then after Maghrib, another bayan, everybody sits. After Isha, bayan, everybody sits. MashaAllah. And this is what we brothers would talk about and admire, the condition of Indonesia. This was everywhere, mashallah. So anybody who came, they would listen attentively. Mashallah, we stayed in Batam, and Batam and that part of Indonesia, very green, very fertile, mashallah, land. If you drop any seed on the ground, mashallah, you will see something coming out. Very, very green. And because it's close to Singapore also, the local brothers have said that Batam is becoming a well-developed city, island. A lot of foreign companies are moving into that region. And it's an industrial island city, mashallah. So we were in Batam. From Batam, our next stop was Medan. And for that we had to catch the flight. Alhamdulillah, we got the flight from Batam to Medan. Now again, some of the words that you hear, the name of the cities, Medan and Bandachi, it's got a lot of this Indian influence in words, in it, Medan. When we got to Medan, alhamdulillah, again, brothers were there. We went straight to the markaz. It was late in the evening, or Zohar time. What we noticed in Medan was a lot of Chinese people were there. And in Indonesia, there are a lot of Chinese, and that is the case also in Malaysia. There are a lot of Chinese. A few years ago, I also read an article in the Impact magazine that in a lot of the Muslim countries, including Malaysia, they wanted the growth of the Muslim to decline and for the Chinese population to increase. And today when you go in that part of the region, you will be shocked that the entire economy of Indonesia and Malaysia and that part of the region is in the hands of the Chinese, unfortunately. So we Muslims have to really work hard and to make sure that we know what we are doing. In some of the countries in that part of the region, in fact, I think it was in Singapore, the government pays a great deal of money to any child that is born because the population of Singapore is decreasing. So they give incentives to people. There is no population there. So for every child you get so many thousands of dollars and pounds when we convert that to our local currency. So we got to, alhamdulillah, Medan. And in Medan, again you see, when you do the taqabul of the condition of the Muslims, you get some of the Muslims who are very, very strong, mashallah. and who want to practice Islam, and then you get the other people who are what we would say moderate type of Muslims, and then you get other people who, the level of Iman is very, very weak. Sometimes they adopt other cultures and other ways also, though they have alhamdulillah Iman in their heart, but a lot of effort is needed. When we got to Medan, Medan is a hustling, bustling city. When we first got to Medan, it was like one of the cities in India, exactly like India. Very, very busy. You had the rickshaw, you had everything there. And like I said, you won't see everybody to be Muslims there. A lot of them were also Chinese. It seemed that everything was in the control of the Chinese at that time. Now, when we had to go to Bandachi, that was on the northern part, the top part of Indonesia, the first intention was to catch a flight straight to Bandachi. But it was quite difficult to get a reservation in flight because of all the foreign people, journalists and the Americans and the Europeans that were there. They were having the first choice in getting to Bandachi. We had no choice but to hire a coach, and alhamdulillah we hired a coach with the seven of us there. There were also other local brothers who joined in, Brother Ilyas, who translated everything for us, other brothers who wanted to come fi sabilillah to help the brothers in Bandachi. So we hired a coach. I don't know if that photo is there. These are just some of the photos there. You see Brother Arif here, mashallah. And, so this was the coach that was hired, and this safar from Medan to Bandachi was meant to be for how many hours? 9 hours? About 9 to 10 hours. But it wasn't 9 to 10 hours. It was 18 hours. And the driver was driving in such a way that we had to pray Yasin Sharif. And I had to remind the driver that I think if he needs to sleep, then he might as well sleep, because our maqsad is to get to Bandachi. Because he had just traveled back from Bandachi to Medan, and he only had about 3 to 4 hours sleep, and he wants to go back now, back to Bandachi. And that was his job. Nevertheless, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nusrat was there step by step. So this trip from Medan to Bandachi was 18 hours, and alhamdulillah it was good we went via the local roads, because we had an opportunity to see a lot of the things. As we got out of Medan, we noticed that there were a lot of churches. When we got to Bandachi, we were talking about this, and the locals said that in Medan, when you go out on the outskirts, there are a lot of Christians living there. But the most shocking thing for me and for the team that went, you might be surprised, as we came out from Medan, we even saw a Gurdwara. Sanvia, Gurdwara. And that was quite amazing. To see a Gurdwara in that part of the region. But the good thing is, alhamdulillah, every 1 kilometer there is a beautiful masjid. Every 1 kilometer there is a beautiful masjid. And this is just one example of how beautiful the masjids there are. And this is just on the way from Medan to Bandachi. This is approximately 150-year-old masjid. And alhamdulillah, I think it was in this masjid that we performed our Zuhr Salat. MashaAllah. When we got to Bandachi, alhamdulillah, eventually, we didn't go directly into the city of Bandachi. We were to stop at the Markaz there. And the Markaz was at this area which is known as Montasiak. Montasiak, a small area, not very far. It is in Bandachi, but a different area The Markaz was at Montasiak, and it was not just a Markaz, mashallah, there was also a Darul Uloom there. As I go, mashallah, this is the Markaz which was to be, mashallah, it was in the process of construction, but the brothers were using that Markaz, namaz had started, and this was to be our base in Bandache, in Montasiak. We would stay there in the night and during the daytime, we would go into the area of Bandache to assess the situation, to do whatever needed to be done. So this was the Markaz in Montasiak. MashaAllah. When we got to Bandache, that was our base. Just to give you a brief history of this city, which is the capital city of Aceh, Banda Aceh. Islam entered in Indonesia through this province of Aceh. Aceh is a province that boasts 100% Muslims once upon a time. A very strong Muslim community, and that is why we also read that there has been a struggle in that part of the region between the Indonesian government and the separatists that are there. We won't go into that, but it has always been 100% solid Muslim suba, Aceh. Islam entered from that part, Aceh, Banda Aceh. It is said in the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, four of the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ajma'in came into Indonesia through Aceh. And when we talked about the word Bandachi to the local brothers, some of them said that the word Bandachi is Banda Acha. Kya hai? Banda Acha. It has a lot of Indian influence. And when you get to Bandachi and Aceh, that province, you will notice that Indonesians have the Chinese eyes sort of, and the beards are just in the front here. But when you go to that part of the region, when you look at their faces, it is as if though their forefathers were from India, some part of that region. And they have big beards also. And mashallah, it seems that when you look at them, they are as if people who have just come from Hindustan, Pakistan. So this is where the word comes out from, Banda Acha. There is a possibility, somebody was saying to me that one pious king came in that area and he said about the people there, ki ye sare log Banda Acha hai. Kya hai? Banda Acha. And this is how the name became Banda Aceh and Aceh. And even when you look at the term Aceh, Islam entered through Aceh first and then went into the different parts of Indonesia, then into Malaysia, then into the different parts, Brunei, etc. In the 11th century, Yemenis also came. Yemenis have very close link to Indonesia. That is why when we were there, it might be surprising, but a lot of the trucks that were there helping the locals were from Yemen. A lot of the Yemeni brothers. So in the 11th century, Yemenis would come in Indonesia, and also traders from Gujarat had entered that part of the region. Like I said, it was 100% Muslim area. And even as you cross from Maidan into Aceh and Bandache, you will see that all the women wear the scarf, at least, your own hijab, all of them. And this is, the government has made it a law there and has given them that power, that the first Islamic state is the area, the province of Aceh. This is again a brief history of Aceh and the capital city, which is Banda Aceh. The population of Banda Aceh is 1.5 million. And it is said that when after the tsunami, 50% of the population and the city is completely wiped out, vanished. 50%. Another area which was worth hit was the area of Malebu. We wanted to go to Malibu, but there is no route. The only means to getting to Malibu is through the Hercules helicopters that were operating at that time, and it is difficult to confirm your return seat if you get to Malibu. And it is for this reason that we didn't go to Malibu. But Malibu has a population of 1 million Muslims. 1 million Muslims. And it is said that 80% of Malibu has been destroyed completely. There are many other cities in and around 700 miles coastline has been affected. Another interesting island is the Simalu Island. In the Simalu Island, it is said that 40,000 inhabitants at that time had climbed up the peak of the mountain because their forefathers had warned them that if the water recedes back, then the tsunami will come, the big wave will come, so what you have to do is go on top of the mountain. And this is the homework that they had learned from their forefathers. So though this was very, very close from the epicenter, only 40 kilometers away, but it is said that all 40,000 that climbed up the mountain were all saved. And minimum casualty. Minimum casualty. इसीलिए कभी कभी जो हमारे बड़े कह जाते हैं तो वो बात कैसी होती है काम की होती है सुभानअल्लाह This is in the Simalu Island. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects whom He wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with people how He wills. The word tsunami is a Japanese word which means big waves, which is also found in the Quran. Tsunami is mentioned in the Quran. When we look at the Quran, the reference of some of the words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the day of Qiyamah as وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. And in another ayat of the Quran, Allah says وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ and وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. If you pick up Tafsir ibn Kathir, which is translated now in the English language, it gives you full detail of what is meant by Sujjirat and Fujjirat. The translation is when you see the seas to overflow. When you see the seas to overflow. And Fujjirat means when you see the seas spills forth. That means it comes out and it will go onto the land. And this is exactly what had happened in the tsunami. In Bandachi, what had happened before the wave, before the water came, the people there could feel the quake, the earthquake that was there. And this was again due to the epicenter in the ocean, and they could feel it in the coastline, in that part of the region. Some of them were saying that the earth was shaking like this. And this was the description that he gave us. But this is how the earth was shaking. And a lot of the brothers were coming out at that time to see what had happened. This was early in the morning on the 26th of December, 8 o'clock. Yeah, huh? 8 o'clock. That is why, my respected brothers, our ulama have said, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Any community that imitates anything that is from another religion, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you of them. So if you follow a trend or something that is connected to the kuffar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with you in that manner. I'm not saying that in reference to the people of Banda Aceh. I'm just saying it generally. So it was the 25th of December in the night. A lot of the brothers in other parts of the world, you see that they even want to celebrate on the 25th of December. Aliyazu billah. 25th of December, dunya was celebrating, and on the 26th, early in the morning, the tsunami came. It is said that it was three waves. Teen kisam ke mauj the. And this is information that we have taken from the local brothers there. Before I continue, just to show you the picture of this beautiful masjid. MashaAllah. This is the main masjid in Bandache. This masjid is known as Masjid-e Baytul Rahman. Masjid-e Baytul Rahman. Now, this is right in the square. If you are standing close to the masjid, you will see that one side of the streets where the houses are have been completely destroyed, and the other side of the streets also has been completely destroyed. But it seems that the masjid is untouched. Completely untouched. These are the pictures. These are pictures that we have taken, Dekhe. Nothing. The only damage was to one pillar, and that pillar was not even part of the masjid, just like a pillar structure as you enter the masjid. That was slightly damaged. It is said that the water entered the masjid, but the water was only knee-high. And this masjid is 400, is it something to the effect, 400 years old. In sabse purani. The president of Indonesia had prayed his Eid al-Adha Salah in this masjid this year, in Bandache. So you can see, mashallah, not one masjid, not two masjid, but every masjid in that part of the region is intact. Mashallah. This masjid is Masjid-e Baytul Rahman. Going back to describing how the waves came, the people there have mentioned that when the first wave came, 15 meters high, some of them have said as high as two coconut trees. They were not even expecting a wave to come. They were just completing the difficulties and the damage, assessing the damage that had occurred from the earthquake, and from behind the wave comes. And it was about 15, 16 meters high. And this wave, they say, was like someone, when the carpet is rolled up, and when you want to unfold it, the last end gives you a flip. What does it do? It flips up. And this is how the wave was. It was a very high wave. Yeh toh pehla mauj, uski jo description unhone di hui hai. There is also some photos of that one can find in the internet. The second wave was the most severe one, the locals say, which was a whirling wave. One wave whirling into another wave. One wave whirling into another wave. This was the second type of the mauj. And the third wave that came, my respected brothers, was a slicing wave. Every wave was a different wave. This is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. On the day of Qiyamah, this is what humanity will witness, this is what mankind will witness. But those who have taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save them. One of the Mawlana's there, whose name is Mawlana Suryadi. Mawlana Suryadi also lived in that part of the region where very close to the coast, and virtually every house there has been demolished. Mawlana Suryadi also was shaheed on that day. It is said about Mawlana Suryadi's wife, mashallah, Torda in that part of the region is not perhaps their practice. Very few ladies would do the hijab, the covering of the face. Maybe it's not in their culture, or the way the women dress today is just a scarf covering the hair, the head, but not the face. But Mawlana Suryadi, a very famous scholar, it is said that when they found his body, after 15, 20 days, the body was sung. Completely intact. The condition now, after a month, is such that if bodies are found, if you were to touch the fingers would come out. If you were to touch any, you can't actually handle the body. The salt in the water, you can't, as I said in the Jummah khutbah, that you can't even identify ki ye kya hai, kya nahi. When we got to Bandache, the very first body that our group saw was close to the masjid as the people were there cleaning up, and what we noticed is that there was a body there. And what the people do there generally, when they find a body, they leave the body on the path and just put a cloth on top, and somebody comes and collects the body. And mashallah, there are graves that are dug in the different parts of Bandachi, and that is where the body is disposed of. So this was the tartib of the tsunami. Maulana Suryadi, his body was Sahih Salim, and his wife at that time was in complete parda when the wave came. And in that condition she passed away. The brothers there have said that after 15-20 days, when the bodies were there, Maulana Suryadi's wife was also there. It is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept her in her parda intact. And it was as if the body was so fresh, as if this lady is just sleeping now. MashaAllah, her face was covered, everything was covered. And the locals were saying there, the bodies were all naked. All naked. So when the waves come, my brothers, everything comes with it. The trees were like as if somebody is throwing the darts. Cars were like toys, crushed. Metal, buildings, everything there. Allahu Akbar. And everybody at that time was saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Oh Allahu Akbar, or the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there. And another lady that was there, it is said that they found her while she had a tasbih in her hands. And she must be doing the tasbih, no time. As I said, when the tsunami came, it was very, very quick. And she must have been doing tasbih, and in that condition. That is why in the hadith it comes that how you die, that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect you. This is how you come out from your grave. If you die in the condition of hajj in ihram, you will come out from your grave saying, Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik, and he will think he is in the maidan of Arafat. Subhanallah ilazim. And again in the Jummah Salat, I mentioned about this great buzrug, a very famous buzrug in that part of Bandachi, whose name is Sheikh Wala. Sheikh Wala Buzrug. The brothers they have seen, and this we have heard from a number of people there who have survived. They have said that when the water came, the qabr of Sheikh Wala, that where he is resting, it ascended up. Different people have mentioned this to us. And then it came down. In fact, the Amir there, not just the Amir of Bandachi, the Amir of the whole of Indonesia at that time, a lovely man, mashallah. He was talking to us about this, and he said that we must go and visit the grave of this great Buzrug, whose name is Sheikh Wala. It is said about him that through his presence, mashallah, he worked extremely hard, and a lot of people had embraced Islam on his hands. There was another person there who was a talib ilm, and he was there in that part of the area in that morning also. He said he could see the water coming from one side, and he was a student. He said that a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to my mind. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the winds would come to Madinatul Munawwara in the masjid, and when the winds were strong, the sunnah of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was to go to the masjid and perform two rakats. So he said, I saw that the pattern in weather, the water flow, there was something wrong, and he said that I went straight in the masjid and I started to pray. And I noticed as if the water was coming close to me, and he said, I ran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me. He prayed two rakats. This young boy, it is said that his mother, father passed away, grandmother, grandfather passed away, and brother and sister also passed away. When you talk to the people there, they have the courage to put up a smile in front of you. And this is Iman, this is Iman. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is still there. No shikayat, no complaint to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, the Iman is strong. They still return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the family members have passed away. And we also have this brother, mashallah, the courage that he has got. I think it's the end.
جی
And this brother, mashallah, even with all the family members that have passed away, what he does in the madrasa, where the markaz is Darul Ulum, a group of students, mashallah, they go and they do khidmat. What they do is they take out bodies. And when they return back, I said to them, how many bodies did you take out today with the limited resources that they have? And they said that 65 bodies that they had taken out. And here is the picture of the students loading up into the truck. These are young Muslim children, students of the markaz. MashaAllah, what they do is they do this khidmat. Wherever they find someone who has passed away, they pick up the body and put it on the side, and the government people come and they put a cloth and the body is disposed. This is what the students do. And this is just one example of the qubur masses there. You see that? You will see even legs that are visible of the deceased that are there. And like that you have mass graves all around Bandachi. So wherever you go, there is mass graves. Wherever you go, you will see dead bodies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Hazrat ko jannat naseeb kare. This is a picture of a building which is the second floor that has blown away. From which area we don't know, but this is what you see here. It is a second floor, not a ground floor. And the other parts of the building are not known. Ye kaha se kaha ye building aayi, only Allah knows. MashaAllah. As I mentioned in Juma, one was a tugboat. This is a different boat. This boat again has come approximately 5 miles inland. 5 miles inland from the coast inside. And there was another boat, a tugboat, that was again in the city, crashed into the building in the city center. As we mentioned in the Jummah Salat, that every masjid is intact, mashallah. Just want to show you the picture of this beautiful masjid. Everything around the masjid, my respected brothers, everything has been flattened completely. But the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stands. Brother Arif, who was with us, when he met one of the journalists there, said to them, Arif said to them, that don't you think that this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has protected all the mosques? So what did the journalist say? Well, the mosques are built in a special way and the foundation of the mosque is very, very strong. Here you see the second floor of a building being blown away from Allah knows where. And it is said that one of the two compartments of the train in Sri Lanka was found in the Maldives Islands. Yeah. A beautiful masjid that you see here. And it is in this masjid, mashallah, that we found the Quran that was shown to the brothers today in Juma. Alhamdulillah, that we brought with us. It was in this masjid. Can you see the masjid, mashallah? Minimum damage, my respected, as compared to the other buildings that are around the masjid. It is an incredible scene. You see nothing but the house of Allah. You turn this way, minaret dome. You turn this way, minaret dome. Either they came minaret dome, either they came minaret dome. Ajeeb manzar. Here we have the picture of one of the survivors in the masjid. This brother here is Brother Ilyas, mashallah, who did a very good job in translation. They are actually demonstrating for us what had happened in the masjid. Father and son had taken refuge in the masjid and they were protected. This young man here says that my sister was holding me like this. My sister was holding me like this, but she did not have the power to hold on to the brother, and she is not to be found anymore. Not the mother and not the sister. Only the father and the son are there. And both the father and the son are there in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As if they get peace and contentment, tranquility, refuge in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another picture here, mashallah. We just want to concentrate on some of the masajid. We have two pictures here of the same masjid. Now this masjid is right on the coastline. Right on the coastline. Everything around the masjid is non-existent. Nothing can be seen. Everything is totally wiped out. And close to the masjid was this American Caltex building. Very strong, not there anymore. It was neighboring this masjid. And you can see this masjid, minimum damage. Kitna? Otherwise, the first wave was to affect the first building, which is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lekin aap dekhe, mashallah. Minimum damage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here again we see another beautiful masjid, completely intact. The only damage is on the back side where one part of the wall has come down. But if you see the other side of the mosque, you will see it to be completely intact. Alhamdulillah, so we had the opportunity to perform our Zuhur Salat. Wallahi al-Azim, my respected brothers, I mentioned in Jummah, the sukoon we got in this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala performing Salah. Here, just a snap was taken of the brothers performing Salat in this masjid. Again, the sole survivors that were living in that part of the region have all taken refuge in the masjid. All the refugee camps are in masjid compound. All the refugee camps are in the masjid compound. This is another masjid. Apni aankhon se dekh le. MashaAllah, completely intact. Two parts of the mosque. Another masjid is this masjid. Again, the structure of the masjid is still standing. Though everything around it has been completely flattened. And kisi cheez ka wujud hi nahi. What you will see is only the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is another masjid. In this masjid, mashallah, that we went to here, at least more than 100 people had taken refuge in this house of Allah. When we went there, mashallah, we gathered everyone there and they listened to the wa'az, the bayan, very attentively. When the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was taken, my respected brothers, every single one of them was crying. Every single one. The love of Iman, the love of Islam is still there. And alhamdulillah, money was also distributed to the needy people. It is said that as we left, the brothers were saying that we are very happy that you came. And he said, why? Because just before you, some of the missionaries, and well, they were not missionaries, but we assume that they were missionaries, they came to us and they said to us, have any Muslims come to see you? Trying to say that none of the Muslims are coming to visit you, it is only us. We come to visit you. So alhamdulillah, they said that we are very happy that our brothers from England have come to visit us. MashaAllah. It was in this masjid. Just another example of the devastation, my respected brothers. It can be seen in this photo here. Everything has been grounded, but yet you see the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing. Ab kitne photo le mere aziz. This is just in Bandachi. Even in Malibu, everybody who comes, they say, the only buildings that are standing is the masjid. Another masjid that is standing. Destruction everywhere, no building, but the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing. And look at this beautiful masjid, subhanallah. Right in the middle. Again, here. And the general is saying that it's got a strong foundation. What strong foundation? There is no foundation in the heart of Iman. If the foundation of Iman is there, Allah give us all hidayat. May we leave this dunya in the condition of Iman. This is the photo of another masjid, incomplete masjid. Even the construction that is going, the masjid is incomplete, but yet we see the four walls intact. And in this masjid, mashallah, there was great calligraphy in the inside part of the dome, which is untouched. Some of the masajids that we went to see, even the glass of the window is intact. You have it. MashaAllah. My respected brothers, this is the land that we bought there, mashallah, on behalf of the Leicester community, mashallah. And this is the inside part of the land. Mashallah, you can see how green everything is in Indonesia. And this is the outside picture. Insha'Allah ta'ala, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we hope that very soon the construction will start and we will have an orphanage center there for boys and girls, obviously in a separate area, completely different from where the girls are. And inshallah we will have schools there also, madaris, masjid, whatever needs to be done inshallah ta'ala, we will do it. Aap hazrat ka ta'awun to hoga inshallah ta'ala. This is the first phase of the project inshallah. This is something that will be ongoing, continuous. And we are fortunate that the brothers who are looking after the project, the party there, is also a group of muttaqeen. MashaAllah, he is the imam of a masjid there. Again, this brother here, he is the chief of the village. And this land also belongs to him. Yani, sari log nek namazi log. And the person who's going to look after the yatama at this minute, 17 girls are at the house of Maulana Rosie that is there, mashallah. And there's full parda on that side. And the students that have been affected, the yatama who have been affected by the tsunami, they are boarding in the madrasa. Inshallah, the minute the construction starts, then slowly the children will be transferred. And as, mashallah, the facility is provided, we will have more and more children in this area. Aap hazrat ka ta'awun chahiye aur aap hazrat ki dua chahiye. This was photo taken from the flight. If you look at Bandachi, everything here was completely green once upon a time. But now if you see the photo, everything has been leveled out. This is Bandachi, my respected brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, alhamdulillah, for the khulus. We've talked about all the masajid in the village of Kaju. 12,000 people were living and only four have survived. MashaAllah. We went there, we visited all the refugee camps in the masjid compound, and it is our fundamental duty as Muslims to go there, not just from Leicester, but from different parts of England, to go there and to give them the support that they need. And nazar kare, my respected brothers, father, mother have passed away, children have gone, but yet they have the time to speak to you. Yet they take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah. Aid is getting there. Aid is getting there. It is said that the local brothers were saying to us that the hospitals and the airport there is in full control of Bari Sarkar. Samajh gaye na? full control. But alhamdulillah, there are other Muslim organizations there that are working. The very good thing is that some of the foreign agencies tried to remove and to take with them orphans, young babies, 300 babies in Europe somewhere, and alhamdulillah this was stopped. But yet Allah knows best. Some of the people were saying that a lot of the refugees are carried, lifted up into the helicopter, and they have no knowledge where the refugees are taken. Because we don't have that technology, we don't know that there is no means of communication. So we only hope whatever is happening better for our brothers in Indonesia. This is Mukhtasar Karguzari of our Safar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all khulus, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our effort. Brothers here, anybody has a question? किसी को कुछ सवाल करना है? No question? Everybody is tired? Dua kar le, dua shay kar le. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إنا نسألك من رزاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من غضبك والنار سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.